Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, other stuff that is maybe worth some of your time. You know, free stuff. We pay you to join. No, we don't. At facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, thank God, Jack!
Yay!
So I did a show this last Sunday. And we're time traveling again, too, just so you all know. I did a show this last Sunday with Fisher and no co-host.
I haven't heard it yet, but I heard it was bad.
No, the show was fine.
No, I meant your performance, just in general.
My performance is always mediocre at best.
Mediocre, Mosoff.
Oh, man. Maximum effort. Hey, Jack.
What's that, John?
Guess what?
What?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the IR Patrol Thermal Monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander out after dark looking for Pokemon. TNVC has what you need to find things in the night. TNVC, now with financing. Own or finance the night. Because, you know, sometimes you want stuff and it's...
You're broke.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You're not broke. You just don't have it all.
Oh, you're
right.
An adult and you want to, like,
right,
responsibly make purchases.
We fully encourage you to responsibly purchase things here at Ballistic Radio. Anyway, we got Craig Douglas joining us, the famous South Narc. Craig, how's it going?
Dude, I'm doing well. And I have to say, John, I just had an image when you were going through all your shtick there. I think you're kind of like the Bruce Buffer of the firearms tactical training podcast. You've got this Bruce Buffer syntax, and while you're you know, talking about the sponsors, I picture you like jumping to the left and the right, kind of like when he introduces the fighters.
You know,
it's the same, you know, it's the same kind of Shatnerian drama.
Well,
so I like it.
You are spot on with how that looks. Like, I'm not kidding. There's like a bounce, and he like hand gestures. It's crazy.
Well,
nice.
It's better than when I first did the show. It was rough. I have never claimed to be a radio show host. It just sort of happened that way, and I'm trying to learn as I go. But Bruce, that's pretty. I'll take that. That's better than.
I think you are, dude. Yeah, you need some of those. You need some of those tuxes he wears with the weird, you know, like black stripe on them. But I think you would pull. You know,
I could pull that off.
Well, yeah.
Either that or
a strip club DJ.
Oh,
could be that deal too.
Coming to the main stage, TNVC.
There you go. There you go.
Oh God. Yeah, that's it. That's it right there.
That's actually my retirement plan, is to become a strip club DJ.
That's going to be my third career.
That's got to be better than a strip club bouncer.
They made so much more money than I did bouncing, and they suck at their job.
Well, you know. So, wow.
Yep.
We're going to have an entire show about strip club DJing right now, aren't we? It's not what I meant to talk about, but no. For those that don't know, and hopefully if you've listened to the show at all, you know who Craig Douglas is. But for those that don't or are new to the show or new to this community, say who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I am Craig Douglas. I'm a full-time trainer. My specialty is entangled weapons-based environment concepts. And what that means is getting a gun or a knife out in a clinch or a ground fight. That's kind of what I'm most well known for. I was a career law enforcement officer, 21 years, most of that time spent in narcotics while I was, active with that, hence the internet moniker South Narc. And now I've been doing this full time for 5 years. Yeah, I retired at 11. 5 years. Wow. Can't believe it's been that long. Anyway, I teach, I think this year I'll probably teach 34 open enrollment courses and five gov. So quite a bit.
Nice.
And
for those that there seems to be one of the things that I run into is like, well, an entangled gunfight or, you know, that never happens. And it seems like that they're one, not reviewing any video footage that's available to anybody at all. But it seems that just overall there's like this very happy, bright, sunshiny view on what an actual fight looks like. Have you run into that?
I have, actually, quite a bit, you know, and it's funny that you say that. I just did a knife course in Dallas, and the same question came up, you know, where people come into the coursework with a plan, you know, they think they're going to, and even they'll watch video, okay, they'll watch student posted video from my coursework, because it's probably, I'm probably one of the more well-reviewed instructors in the industry. You know, I've been doing this now open enrollment for 13 years, and there's a ton of student posted, not mine, student posted video all over YouTube.
Yeah. You
know, and there's a, you know, well over a decade of my coursework that's on there posted by students, and you know, people do their research, and even now I have people that will watch those videos and come in with a plan. Okay, if that happens, what I'm going to do is X. And kind of like we know, you know, to quote the great Mike Tyson, you know, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
So that's what I see. People just really, even if they watch it, okay, in a video, it doesn't match a firsthand, visceral, I'm in it experience. There's just no substitute for that. So yeah, that's quite often. I think most people in this day and age who are raised in a pretty well adapted home and probably were, you know, came up in a school where there was a zero tolerance for any kind of violence whatsoever. Little boys can't express violence even in a healthy way. You know, most people have no familiarity at all with any kind of physical violence.
Right. Right. Well, and even, you know, even for someone that, you know, I've banged this drum so many times, it's not even funny anymore. But like, even as someone that I took ECQC, I want to say in 2013.
Yep. Somewhere around there.
Yeah. And I need to go back again. If I could take it every year, I would, which, is a different conversation, but,
sure.
You know, even as someone that was familiar with violence, in like my past life, I had made a very, I suppose, common mistake of confusing where I was, you know, a decade previous was with where I was at that particular instant, which were two very different, you know, people, if I'm being honest.
Yep.
And it was brutal. I mean, it was ego destroying. It was embarrassing and all that. It's one of the best things that, you know, I've done inside of a training context, just to to get that reminder of, oh, maybe I'm not as, you know, smart as I think I am about all this.
Right. Right.
So
that oppositional component, you know, I think, and I'm pretty fortunate that, again, I am so well reviewed, and there's a lot of video, because it's rare that somebody comes into my coursework not knowing what they're getting into.
Yeah.
So if they've made the choice to engage in that kind of, you know, test, that kind of crucible, that's what I see. Most everybody wants to test themselves. They want the testing component. They want the validation model. They really want to see what it's about. And those are great people, man. There's because, you know, and it's not me. It's just the way I've structured the course. I mean, there's really no place to hide, and everybody knows what happens.
Yeah.
So you just can't be you can't be an egotistical chip on your shoulder kind of guy and survive in that environment and do it over and over and over again. So it attracts a seeking kind of guy, you know, looking for something else. It really, and I know the Fight Club analogy is made quite a bit to my coursework, but it probably is.
Well, no, it's and we got about 15 seconds left in this segment, so we'll get into this more a little bit. But it's the best people go end up at your courses, and I, you know, that's a testament to you as an instructor, but also the material itself, as far as that. It takes a special kind of person to sign up for that on purpose. But we'll talk about that in a second. Right now we're talking with Craig Douglas. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices. And with more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a six-hour that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile Striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022, six-hour makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for a Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that yet. Six-hour, when it counts. So, and now I've got Bruce Buffer's, like, face in my head while I'm reading the ad.
You're not the only one.
What I really appreciated about that was the homage to House of Pain. That was awesome, dude. That was very, very well said.
Thank you.
I caught it. I absolutely caught it. And I think, dude, you're channeling Bruce Buffer now. That's freaking awesome.
I need to get a patch made.
We're
talking with Craig Douglas from shivworks.com. And we were discussing before the break the quality of students that end up coming with this course material, because it's not that the course material is hard to complete. It's that a lot of people, I guess the population at large, maybe doesn't want to find those things out about themselves.
Yeah, I think that's true, John. You know, probably it's difficult to engage in. Just like, you know, if you look at how many people in the shooting community overall, okay, and I'll even say the shooting community is a smaller community than the firearms owners community.
Yeah.
But within the shooting community, how many people seriously compete? That's a small percentage, man. Same thing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. There are millions of people that do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but very few of those comparatively who compete. So
right.
I think what happens, and I think what my coursework allows people to do is just that. It allows them to compete. It allows them to pit themselves against a person who's trying to impose his will, has intention, and has a plan of his own, you know, and obviously it's not a real fight, but it's probably as close as we can get safely. And despite it being a simulated experience, as you know, your mind can't really distinguish that.
No.
It really can't. And we see a lot of interesting reactions in the coursework, man. Just a lot of physiological things, what psychological things come out, and you know, I provide the experience, and afterwards, it you decide what to do with it. I think that good coursework should create a lot of introspection and contemplation,
right?
And that's what I try and do for everyone, and they decide where to go from there, you know, and like you know, the people that come back, you know, after the first round, a year later or 6 months later or 2 years later, whatever else, man, those people are almost to a man fundamentally changed. They're lighter. They're healthier. They're stronger. They're just, they're more overall. They really are. And what's very observable to me is they're all more composed because they've had the experience. You know, to a man, every single one of them were composed. And I believe subjecting yourself to that kind of coursework probably allows you to tap into better decision-making faculties on whether you should or should not use force. This is a theory, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're confident and you understand that you've been in some pretty bad circumstances, again, simulated, and you have real confidence in your training, it's not doubt, you know what? Maybe you can evaluate that a little bit better. Maybe you can say, well, we're not quite there yet. That's strictly a theory, but you know, I believe it.
Well, it holds true with my experience, and so it's interesting because the subject of emotional control mm-hmm. has come up the last two shows. We had Melody Lauer on 2 weeks ago, and she ended mm-hmm. up talking about, and I know she was just out of DCQC.
She did very well in that course. She did very, very, very well. Great student, man, just, you know, took it like a champ and performed well, performed at a pretty high level, man. They're Melody Smith's Lounge.
Yeah, and we had Steve Fisher was on just this last Sunday talking about emotional control as well, and that seems to be, and I'm glad that more people are talking about it, that seems to be a very overlooked factor when we start talking about like the self-defense question.
Yes, it is. I think so. And the question comes up, how do you develop emotional control? You know, it's kind of like that same question, how do you develop awareness? Okay, because, you know, we talk about awareness, okay, but nobody really has tangible plans for enhancing awareness. And if you think about the word, it's not a verb. How do you aware? So how do you emotionally control? What do you do? You know, I don't think there's a way you can do that in a moment, despite all the tricks about combat breathing. I think that helps get your heart rate down, but yeah. there's not a direct correlation between heart rate and emotional state. That's indirect at best. You can have a really, really high heart rate, but still be relatively emotionally calm. What I believe gives you that kind of emotional resilience is the fact that you know deep down, you know you can handle this. You know you can take this. And I think you only get that through some type of physical expression of that ability. In other words, you know, if I'm on the bottom in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu match and I'm with a guy who's bigger and stronger than me and I'm feeling pressure like I've never felt before and I'm worried about getting, you know, my arm broken or whatever, those moments right there, that's when you develop emotional control. That's when you develop your willpower. You know, we see a lot of people looking at soft as a model for how to shoot. And what they don't really understand is that a soft guy went through a selection process that would crush 95% of the population.
Right.
And I said this a long time ago in an internet forum, you know, calling your left hand a funny name will not make you shoot like a Navy SEAL. However, treading water for an hour, that's a good start.
Right.
And that's where you develop the ability to control yourself emotionally. There's got to be a physical expression of that. That's where you develop your willpower, your emotional control, you know, your mindset. You know, I mean, that's another word we hear in the community, right, that's thrown around. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does mindset mean? So.
Well, and it's kind of like, man, I could go so many directions here. You know, going back to like, how do you aware at something? You know, and the analogy that I've taken to using, and I'm sure I stole it from somewhere on accident, but you know, like if you've got a room full of students, and you tell them, hey, there's an object in this room that will kill you if you don't spot it. And it's a certain color. It's pink or purple or yellow or whatever. And you really need to be looking out for you know, an object that's a funny color. But you don't tell them what the color is, and they don't have that frame of reference to know what they're looking for. They can be as aware as they want, and they're just guessing, you know? And a lot of people, it seems like they don't do the prep work to understand the input that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a nice, cogent way of you know, getting that point across. That's a nice little elegant way of doing it. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's the only elegant thing I'll do this year, I'm sure. But
well, other than more Bruce Buffer strip club DJ, sponsorship announcement. I think that's pretty damn elegant, John.
Oh, thank you, Craig. I appreciate that. something else that I want to talk about that's sort of overlooked or underspoken to or whatever, however you want to say it. How important is verbal agility for avoiding and de-escalating situations that we may find ourselves in?
Personally, I think it's incredibly important. I think it's as important as you know, focusing on your front sight and pressing or yanking, depending on who you talk to.
Right.
Pressing or yanking the trigger, man. I think verbal agility is incredibly important, and it's a really valuable piece of problem solving. If you're going to be a tactician, strategist, problem solver, whatever word of the day you want to describe a guy who's, you know, functional and adept, I think verbal agility is incredibly important. I think it can dissuade people. I think it can. I'll give you an example.
Well, let me interrupt you just because we have to go to break. So hold that thought.
Sure.
We're talking with Craig Douglas from ShivWorks. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911 and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. So, Craig, before the break, I interrupted you. You were getting ready to tell me a story. So if you could continue from where we left off, sir.
Sure, absolutely. I think the verbal agility thing, I think that's incredibly important. So if we look at I'll give you a personal example from me, something I did one time. This is at the TAC conference, actually.
Yeah.
Back when it was at Tom's Place, when he had it there in Memphis. And Tom's old range, the Range Master facility, was not in the best part of Memphis. It really, really was.
No,
so,
it was not.
As you know, man, it's the hood, dude. So I was actually leaving and stopped at a gas station very near the range and get out and swipe my card, put the nozzle into my pump, and I'm just sitting there, and I see this guy that walks up on me, and I can't see his hand. It's in his pocket. Get a grooming cue right off the bat, start getting some target glancing. So I kind of square myself on him, and he walks up, and he says, "Hey, man, you got a dollar?" And I take a step closer to him, actually, point, kind of give him a nice hand, you know, but it's not like really a direct one. And I said, "Nah, man, I don't have a dollar. But if you have any warrants, homeboy," and I never showed a badge. I never, you know, ID'd myself as a police officer. And I was retired, you know.
Yeah.
But I said it with such authenticity and gravitas, obviously because I was a cop for 21 years, that he said, "No, I'm good, officer. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bother you," and walked off.
I kind of want you to tell the airport Starbucks story too, but I don't think that
that's not
suitable for on air.
No, it's a mixed audience. No, we won't tell that story.
But so essentially, you deselected yourself as a victim by just not presenting what he was expecting to see, or is there a little bit more to it than that, do you think?
You know, I think, well, so that I would say that's a particularly aggressive expression of verbal agility that I use. I'll give you a more passive one. So in Cape Town, South Africa, where I teach pretty regularly, I think I've taught 5 or 6 times there. I'm going back this year. We're down in Cape Town, and we're drinking. Me, 2 Afrikaans guys, and a Brit expat.
No, and, no, you'd never be drinking somewhere. Anyway,
not
continue.
Me. And believe it or not, I wasn't drinking out of a
prosthetic leg.
Yeah. A prosthetic leg. I was not right now. So we're drinking in Cape Town, and it's real crowded, man. It's like a Thursday night down there. Cape Town's relatively, you know, I mean, it's not Rwanda. You know, it's relatively safe as far as Africa goes, but it's still kind of a dodgy place. And
right.
We're waiting on we're trying to hail a taxi, and I can see us getting sized up by about like 6 or 7 dudes. And one guy walks up, who I found out later was like a Congolese gang member, trying to sell me some weed, which made me feel great because I'm like, yes, I still got it. So he comes up, and he's, you know, he's trying to sell me some smoke, and he says, hey, you want this? Nah, man, we're working, dude. He's like, what do you mean you're working? It's 11 o'clock at night. I said, well, actually, I said, we detached from Fury Road, because at the time, Mad Max Fury Road was being filmed in Cape Town in Namibia.
Yeah.
So I said, we detached. I said, we're the second unit, and actually we're doing location scouting. We're on right now because we need certain light, and we're looking around for really good, you know, areas. We stopped and got a few drinks. We probably shouldn't. But nonetheless, we actually need some local people to kind of help us out with this. Well, it immediately changed from being sized up for a dope deal with this guy's coming around to being interested in employment, and I ended up getting a phone number from him. So, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, hey, man, look, we could really use some local help. You know, we're probably going to be detached for the remaining 6 weeks doing location scouting for another action movie that's going to be filmed here in Cape Town, because Cape Town does have a booming movie industry. You know, Safe House was filmed there, and they really do. A lot of movies been filmed in Cape Town, and these guys also knew that too. So they immediately switched from possibly selling me a little weed, seeing what kind of money I had, going into a robbery, into me getting a phone number, and possibly if I wanted to call dude back. You know, I mean, I would obviously do something like that working as an undercover officer. You know, it's just the kind of stuff that you do. But still in all, it was the verbal agility that allowed me to switch that around and turn it into something else, you know. And I always look at it from the standpoint of, you know, I'm not really in a defensive mindset when people approach me. It's kind of a game, you know. I mean, I know what to look for. I mean, I was robbed 9 times in 2 years buying dope. So I'm not worried about a robbery. You know, at this point, I'm physically competent. I'm probably stronger than I've ever been. I'm not worried. It's, you know, I don't want to be bored. So anything I can do, I look at it as a game. Anything I can do for entertainment to, you know, create something else, that's kind of what I do a lot. So how do you develop that ability? That's the big question. How do you do that other than go buy dope for 2 years and deal with scumbags? I think a really good way of doing that is probably something like Toastmasters, because it puts you in front of people. It forces you to speak. It forces you to adapt. And like anything else, speaking is a learned practice skill. And I'm sure you know this from doing the podcast, John. Your first podcast, by your own admission, probably is rough compared to now.
Yeah.
Like anything, the more you do it, the better you get at. And I think when you're put in a situation where you're forced to publicly speak and interact with strangers in a safe, controlled way, I think that has huge benefits for self-defense, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, definitely. I wish that I had done a little bit more preparation before, you know, I got thrown on to live radio and had
right.
however many people listening for the first year, which was honestly the first couple years were pretty rough. I'm maybe almost just now starting to get a handle on what I do. Maybe.
Right.
Big maybe. But why do you think people don't discuss this aspect of things more often?
You know, I don't think I have a corner on this, but I just don't think a lot of people have a whole lot of experience with street assaults, how they occur, street crime, street culture. You know, I spent a lot of time hanging out with scumbags, and the verbal part of things, you know, it's a sizing, testing kind of deal.
Jack is just smiling right now, waiting to say something. I'm
not going to say it on air, but I do have a story for Craig at some point.
Okay.
I want to hear it. Can you clean it up and tell it, Jack? Can you clean it up? Can you make it, PG-13?
I think I could make it PG-13, but you talk about hanging around scumbags, and unfortunately that was part of my job for a while. And I ended up throwing a guy out. He had kind of a problem with it. There was a little bit of a beef for a while, and then the club promoters and his boys said, we're going to squash the beef. So they brought him around to me to apologize, and he said something to me that at the time seemed very insulting. Like it felt like he was instigating an attack. So I hit him.
Right.
And as it turned out, what he was trying to say, as he repeated it several times as I continued to hit him, was that he was trying to be my friend. And I didn't understand, because at the time I wasn't listening to a lot of rap music.
Okay, I want to hear this story off the air now.
Okay. It's bad.
Right. Okay,
dude, I think that's a great example. So why did you hit that guy? He didn't understand what he was saying.
Well, I use that story now when people are like, why do you listen to rap music and like talk jive in street? I'm like, because if I had at the time, I wouldn't have gotten in that fight, and that would have been a lot better for me and that dude.
Absolutely. I think that's a great example of a communication problem.
There was a breakdown.
Absolutely. There's a breakdown.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Communicate. Yeah, exactly.
I should have gone to Toastmasters. This would have been way better.
See, Toastmasters and hip-hop combined would have given you the verbal agility and the knowledge to just, you know, give him a little bump, man. It's all right. Peace out, dude.
I've got my hand on my head as I've slowly realized that I'm losing control of this situation, and I need to desperately take control again. And luckily, there's a commercial break. So if you want to hold that thought, Craig, we'll get right back to you. We're talking with Craig Douglas from ShivWorks, and you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it, but how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell, "Aziz Light!" ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now, as a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners, you can get 30% off anything at the Surefire web store other than suppressors or batteries by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS. So visit surefire.com and use the discount code ALLTHELUMENS, ALLTHELUMENS. No space afterwards, because then it doesn't work and I get angry emails. So anyway, we're talking with Craig Douglas about verbal agility and Jack.
Jack was relating a story, and you were realizing how Caucasian you are, John.
That's probably part of it, too. That's probably part of it, too.
That's what's going on. Yeah, we were talking about, you know, just communication issues, you know, and how that can really cause you to overreact, underreact, not knowing what people are saying, not knowing what the implications of what you say. And that's probably a good segue with a lot of the two versus one stuff in ECQC and the experiential learning labs.
Yeah.
Where people say things and don't realize the implications either of their words or their tone and how that can create problems too, you know. I'll give you, Sarah's a really good example. Mike Anderson, who is one of my favorite people in the world, one of my longtime guys in Minnesota, very, very verbally adept, and he's doing the 2-on-1. And then let me explain the exercise. 2 versus 1, so it's a 3-person exercise where it starts off with an encroachment problem by a stranger. So that's one person with a gun, obviously concealed, another person who's encroaching on the gun bearer, and then a third person I usually have held back by the elbow. So it starts off, and Mike's pretty verbally agile, and he's being encroached on, and he barks at the guy. He raises the volume, and it makes the guy angry versus, you know, backing him off. Mike immediately tries to go down and say, "Hey, man, didn't mean to bark at you. The cancer meds are messing with my head." Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, he sold it very, very well, doing a really good job. And the guy says, "Well, you didn't have to yell at me." And Mike says, "Well, I didn't mean to offend your delicate sensibilities." And it was fascinating because one of the things I allow in the exercise is it's unscripted. And what I give people is emotional permission to do whatever they feel like doing. So there's not really a script. You know, if right. somebody says something effective that makes you feel a certain way, act on it within the parameters of the exercise. Obviously, you can't leave, you know, our little ring of Thunderdome that we create so people don't run all over the range. But it was really good, man, because the guy, his head cocked to the side, and immediately he said, are you being condescending? Are you talking down to me? And it just went from there.
Yeah.
And talking to Mike didn't mean it in a condescending way. You know, I said, really? I said, because we were all on the outside going, dude, it sounded pretty condescending to us.
Right.
And he didn't even realize it. And he went back and looked at it and watched the video and heard himself and said, "Wow, I guess I did really sound kind." He said, "I totally didn't mean it that way." And he's not faking it either, because Mike's been through the coursework probably at this point 8 times. So he understands the spirit of the training, and he just didn't realize what he said and how he said it, how it came across. It's a great example, man, of you know, just how important that component of self-defense is. You know, just a little misstep as far as what you say and how you say it can have huge implications up or down.
Well, and I mean, you know, we could make guesses about what happened in the Zimmerman incident and draw inferences from that. But, mm-hmm. you know, do you think that the verbal component, when we go back and look at like the emotional control aspect, is people are starting, is there internal, you know, rev limiter or whatever is starting to get wound up? Do you think that the first thing that goes is verbal control or verbal agility?
Yeah, I think that's one of the very first things that go. When the heart rate goes up, when you start getting scared. I mean, I stammered when I got scared, like buying dope, I would stammer and misstep and just not be verbally agile enough. And I one time, or even frustrated.
Yeah.
Tell you another story. One time I'm buying dope, or I'm trying to buy dope. I think I was in Natchez, Mississippi, but it's a dry hole that day. And I can't buy from anybody. I'm on loan to them, this dope unit. And it's been like an hour, man. Nobody will sell to me. I'm getting angry, and you know, I'm a young guy. You know, I'm there to buy dope and make cases, so that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, I finally see a guy, and you know, I call him over and I ask him for $20, which is $20 worth of crack cocaine. And I'm trying to create some urgency in him, and I said, "Come on, man, hurry up, sell me $20, man. I need it." Blah 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 blah. And he kind of looks down, peeking around the car, looking for cameras. They always do stuff like that, looking around. And I said, "Hurry up, man. Police right around the corner, man. Sell me some dope." He's like, "Police?" I said, "Yeah, man. There's a patrol car right around the corner." And as soon as I said, "Patrol car," because nobody says that except the police, right?
Yeah.
His head snapped to me. His eyes narrowed. He sucked his teeth. He said, "Nah, we're good." And that was it. And from that point forward, I was burned in that neighborhood with that misstep. And I misstep because I got in a hurry. I wasn't precise. I wasn't scared in that moment. But my faculties were taxed, and my emotional state was driven by frustration.
Yeah.
So, and I screwed it up. And obviously being burned, buying dope in a two-block, you know, housing project, not that big a deal. Okay, I'll probably go back next week and buy dope from somebody. But I guess short memory. But still in all, that's a personal example from my undercover years of a misstep, a verbal misstep that was created by a poor emotional state. So to answer your question, yes, I think that that's one of the first things that goes, and the importance of being able to not only control yourself, but practice verbal agility under a load, an emotional load, and somebody has to load you from the outside. You know that, like, when I'm demoing managing unknown contacts and I step in and I feed people when they're learning that skill, you know, I do provocative things, you know, yeah. I push emotional buttons. And as soon as I see someone faltering or stumbling around with their words, that's usually when I punch them, you know. And it's just so predictable every single time.
Right.
You know, it's a great way to – pushing people's buttons is a great way – emotionally is a great way to diminish them physically.
Hmm. Well, and that's – I wish we had more time, man, but we're coming up towards the end of the show. Yep. For those that want to take a class with you or find out more about you, or where can they find you at?
So I've got semblance of a website, chevworks.com, and it's a WordPress website, and it sucks, and it needs a lot of work. But it's got the training schedule on it. It's got the training schedule on there, and I do keep that current.
Perfect.
And then we have an alumni page where we get a lot of student posted video on Facebook, ChevWorks and ChevWorks Alumni. On FB, and that's got, I also got the training schedule for 2017. I think I've got now, I think I got 30 classes already booked for 17. So it's getting full. I'll probably fill out for 2017 in September. So a couple more months. And that's it, man. Just run me down. Craig Douglas, I'm on the internet, you know. So that's really a pretty easy find.
Hey, thanks, man. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk to us.
Hey, man.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure's mine, John. I always enjoy doing your show and connecting with your listeners, so I appreciate it.
Hey, no worries. I'll talk to you later, brother.
All right, man. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem. So make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. It helps us out. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week. Live into your doubt.